Here it is. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Now, on a count of three, point to true north. One, two, three, go. Okay, freeze. Okay, open your eyes. Okay, some people are still going like this. Oh, freeze, freeze. Okay, true north is right over there. All right, now, take a look. Some people are going, one guy going like this. How are you gonna find your way home after church?
Well, if you'd been there, you would have seen people pointing in every imaginable direction. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Living on an island in the Pacific, no one has a clue which way is north, south, east, or west. And even though everyone in the auditorium had an opinion, Pastor Wayne was showing them that there is really only one true north. Life is like that, but in the end, opinions really don't make a lot of difference. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Restoring Hearts.
Would you take out your notes with me as we talk about restoring hearts? And in fact, a mandate and a challenge today that none of us can bail out of. It's an immutable, non-negotiable set of assignments that God's going to give to us today as we talk about restoring hearts. There's certain things of life you can't bail out of. I remember growing up, whenever anyone would give me something, my mother would not let me run away. She'd pull me back and say, say thank you. You say thank you. And I'd have to say thank you. And then, no, get out of here. Or I remember once I whacked my brother and just nailed him good. And he deserved it. And he went crying to my mother, Mom, Wayne hit me, baby. And so my mother grabs me and she brings me back to my brother and says, you say I'm sorry. No, I will kill you. You say I'm sorry. It was like you cannot get out of it. You have to say I'm sorry. And you know, I think of there's certain things, the fact that there's certain things in life you can't get out of. It's like you pass a point of no return. You've got to go through with it. Otherwise, you get killed. It's sort of like the shuttle. I don't know if you saw the launch of the Atlantis. There was one portion where the announcer said that he has passed the radius of action, which means that there's a point of no return after they've dropped some canisters and they've got a trajectory and also a velocity of speed that they cannot turn back now. It's a point, they passed the point of no return. They are committed. They better go through with it. There's no other option, no bailing out. And if you violate that, and it's called the Rubicon effect, or it's actually a river in Italy that once an army crossed, they were committed to fight. So if you cross that river, you better be ready. So it's called the Rubicon effect. Once you pass that, that's no returning after that. Point of no return. Well, there's certain things in life we must be committed to. There is no turning back. And if you do, you do it at great peril. I remember Jimmy Croce's song. It was called, You Don't Mess Around With Jim. Remember that one? It goes like this. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. How many of you remember that one? Yeah, you're old. But it's like you do that to your own peril. You know, it's like major consequences. You violate this and you're finished by big, bad Jim. He's mean. And there's certain things in life you've got to be able to understand that you don't bail out of certain things once you pass a point of no return. And if you try to, once you pass it, you have great problems. You better think long and hard about doing certain things because you're committed at that point. I remember the story of this Portuguese guy. He was in the bar and he had this drink, like a big shot glass of just like bourbon. And he's just staring at it, concentrating. And this big holy truck driver comes in. And he looks at him, he orders his beers, and he's drinking, looks at him. 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, the guy's just like shaking. And he thought, this is his friend. Probably his first time in the bar. Can't handle his liquor. What a pansy. This guy's a wuss, he's a baby. Watch this, watch what I'm gonna do. Big holly guy gets up, says, hey, baby, what's the matter? can't hold your liquor, and he grabs the guy's shot glass and whoom, just downs it. Says, that's how you do it, baby. And the guy starts crying. The Portuguese guy, said, yeah, I knew you were a baby. I'll buy you another one. No, that's not the problem, he said. Everything is going wrong today. I went into the office this morning and my boss fires me. So on the way home, I go check and see if I have any money in the bank. I'm already overdrawn. Then when I go home, my wife said she's divorcing me. I got nothing left. I'm going to kill myself. So I come here to this bar to do that, and you come and drink my poison. There are certain things you don't rush into. You think long and hard about certain things, and there's certain mandates that God gives us, and he says, you've got to be committed. You've got to follow through, and if you pull out, you abort it, you go over another way, you violate this, it is only to your own peril. And it's certain things that God says, it's immutable, no side doors, you're committed. We're going to find out about that in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Malachi, not Molokai, Malachi, right before Jesus is coming now, you have the Father speaking about Christ and what he's going to do, and he's going to give to us that ministry. Let's read about it in Malachi 4:6. Would you? Out loud, go. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. It's almost as if there's a curse waiting to be unleashed, and Jesus is going to come and reconcile hearts between man and God. And then he's going to entrust to us, as this Bible says, the ministry of reconciliation. That we as God's people have been given a ministry to reconcile, and especially fathers. That when we become people who restore hearts and reconcile, and that's our assignment that we can't bail out of, that's our assignment, then that curse, which will have fractured families and broken homes and broken hearts, will be stayed. And if not, if we don't take on this assignment, that curse will actually come. And you will see much of it even in America today, where families are fractured. So I want to give you three things that we can't bail out of in this ministry of reconciliation. If we do, we only do it to our peril and the peril of our legacy, our children and our country. And so what are they? Number one, would you write down the first one that we can't bail out of is this. Every single one of us has a responsibility with God. Would you write that down? Your responsibility before God. Your responsibility before God is something that every single one of us has. It does not matter if you don't believe in God. In the end, you and I will, mark my words, you will stand before God. Because James here says it this way. Let's read it. Go. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. There's only one who is able to save and destroy. And we will stand before him. It does not matter if you say, I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter. He's still there. You can say, well, I don't believe that Australia is down there. It's still there. It doesn't matter. In fact, there's some New York bestsellers, Richard Dawkins and some of the others, that are atheists. And it's almost like becoming vogue, the God delusion and God is not good and some of these other books out there. And we are so arrogant to try and disprove God with our own wisdom. Did you know that scientists say that man uses to the max now 4% of his brain, up to 4%. And I've got some cousins that's a stretch of the imagination. It's maybe even half that. But we at 4% of our brain are writing books to try and disprove God. And we think, man, we really got it. Cock-a-doodle-doo. And it's like God is saying, what? You're coming to these conclusions trying to spawn this kind of belief that there's no God. But God is still there. It does not matter what you believe. He will be there and we'll all have a responsibility before God. You can't bail out of that one. I mean, people come to the dumb conclusions. I was listening to this story. Story goes like this. The Italians dug 200 feet down in the ground in Italy and found copper. So they came to the conclusion that that 20,000 years ago, before even the Romans, they had a sophisticated system of copper cables where they had telephone system. Well, the English would not be outdone. So they went 300 feet down and they found shards of glass. So they said 30,000 years ago, the English had fiber optic for their phone system. Well, the Portuguese would not be outdone by that. So they drilled down 400 feet in Portugal and they found nothing. So they came to the conclusion that 40,000 years ago, the Portuguese already had cell phone coverage. We can come to the dumbest conclusions and think we got it. And sometimes mankind does not believe, no matter what you believe, in the end, there is a true God. Now, I've done this before and I'm going to do it again just to kind of refresh our memories. But I'm going to ask you to close your eyes in a second. I'm going to have you do something. And when you open your eyes, now I want you to freeze, all right? Okay, here it is. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Now, on a count of three, point to true north. One, two, three, go. Okay, freeze. Okay, open your eyes. Okay, some people are still going like this. Oh, freeze, freeze. Okay, true north is right over there. All right, now, take a look. Some people are going, one guy's going like this. How are you gonna find your way home after church? Now, some people, well, it's one of you pointing the exact opposite, the south. Now, it does not matter where you point. There is a true north. Doesn't matter if he said, no, no, it's this way. I believe it's this way. I really believe it's this way. Doesn't matter what you believe. There is a true north. And there's sometimes people are going to write books about, no, it's this way. And they can make it really flowery and with great kinds of human wisdom. But the Lord is saying, you use up max 4%. And we are arrogant enough to try to disprove something that is so true. In fact, the Bible says in the end, let's see what happens. Romans 3 and verse 4. Would you read it with me? Go. Though everyone else in the world is a liar, God is true. As the scriptures say, he will be proved right in what he says, and he will win his case in court. Yeah. One of the very first things that none of us can bail out of is our responsibility before God. We are human beings, frail and temporal and finite, and we serve a God that's infinite. And one day we will stand before him and God will ask one question. Here's the question. What did you do with my son? That's it. And if you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. Just say, Lord, I don't understand everything there is to understand. Obviously, there's so much more. But I am not going to be so arrogant to try to disprove and disbelieve everything about the planets. Planets whizzing around us, moving so fast, but with such precision that we even set our watches by the millions of tons of matter that are flying in the universe because it's so predictable and so dependable. And the Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. Did you know that astronomers even now can predict the very next eclipse to the second in about 20 years because everything is so predictable and so mathematical? All of us has a responsibility before God. And it doesn't matter which way you point, he will be true. He will always be true. The first thing. The second thing is every single one of us can't bail out of this. And if we do, it's only to our peril. Number two, the health of your relationships. The health of your relationships. Now, this is going to be a very important point. I got to have you listen to this. If you say, Wayne, if we could distill this whole Bible into like just one simple sentence, what would it be? Well, someone asked the Lord to do that, and he gave him the answer in Matthew 22. Let's read it. Go. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Here it is. Love your neighbor as yourself. Underline that. First is your responsibility before God to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second is equally important. You and I are responsible to maintain and, if need be, repair relationships so that they stay healthy. And there are dire consequences if you violate them. You know why it's so important? The reason it's so important is because we were, here it is, we were created to need one another. That's how it is. You don't function without other people in healthy relationships with you. That's how we were wired up. Let me tell you how important it is. It's sort of like this, and I'll just kind of give you an illustration. Let's say someone says, I want to be happy. Okay. Let's say I have $50 billion, so I'm going to make you happy. Really? Yeah. What will really make you happy? Oh, man, I don't have a house, so I want a big house. You want a big house? Yeah. I'll build you a big house. A big one. How big? Oh, I want like big, 10,000 square feet. I'll make you 160,000 square feet. Not only that, I will put a castle with it, and I'm going to give you 5 mansions. How's that? Woohoo! I am happy! Good. And now I'm going to put a swimming pool. You want a swimming pool? Well, yeah. No, I'm going to give you 6 swimming pools. And I'm going to have slides that go from one pool to the other. How's that? Ooh, yeah, I like it already. With porpoises blowing water out the mouth. Oh, man, yeah, I'm excited. And what about car? You need a car to get around? Yeah, yeah, a car. That'll make me happy, yeah. Huh, what kind of car? Corvette. Okay, I'm going to give you 10 Corvettes. And I'm going to give you Mercedes. And I'm going to give you BMWs. I'm going to give you Ferraris and Lamborghinis. How's that? Oh, now I'm happy. And gas. I'm going to give you gas because gas is real expensive. So I'm going to give you some gas to go along with. Oh, now I'm real happy. And motorcycles. I'm going to give you a couple of Japanese ones. And then I'm going to tons of Harleys, the good ones. And I'm going to put them all in your garage. And I'm going to beef them up. Oh, man, I'm so happy. Yeah, not only that, money. You're going to need money. So I'm going to give you suitcases of money, $100 bills. And then I'm going to give you gold bullion, like bricks of gold. So in case money currency goes down one day, you got gold. How's that to back it up? I'm going to give you a whole closet full of gold. How's that? Oh, man, I am so happy. I'm so happy. Yeah, only one catch. What? You live the rest of your life on that estate, and you will see nobody. You'll be alone on this huge island. You'll never leave it, but everything you want's there, but you'll never see another human being the rest of your life. Now, at first, you'll be real excited. Yeah, you could swim in the pools in the morning, one in the afternoon, slide. You can run around your mansion in your bibbidis. You're free. Drive your car fast. You crash it. It's okay. You get another one. Just leave it. We'll go to the next one. Woo-hoo. That'll be fun for about a week or two. And then it's like, who gives a rip about all of this stuff? You've got nothing. You see, if there's no one to share it with, and if there's no healthy relationships, I'm not talking about just relationships, because you can have warring relationships or evil relationships, and they'll kill one another for that. I'm talking about healthy relationships. If you have no healthy relationships, who gives a rip about all of this stuff? If you have no relationships and nobody's around you, listen, you can have tons of gold, but what good is it? It's useless. Can't do anything with it. Why? Because God actually created us to need healthy relationships. That's what gives value to everything. Everything. If you remove healthy relationships, the value of life goes down to zip. You can have tons of stuff and have no healthy relationships. You're poor. Or you can have very little but have tons of healthy relationships, you're a rich person. And that's why it's so important to remember that Malachi says that I want to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and children to the fathers. We say, well, what if someone slams their door on me and betrays or rejects me? Then Romans 12:18 says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace with all men. Yeah, but what if they reject me? Then here's number 3. Would you write this down? Every single one of us is responsible for, and we can't bail out of this, the condition of our hearts. The condition of your own heart. We can't say, well, he or she or they did it. We're responsible for that. And when I stand before God, I can't say it's their fault or their fault. That's why the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, let's read it in 4:23. Go. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And in the New Living, which is the same verse but a different perspective, let's read it in the New Living. Go. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Even if people reject you, guard your heart. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son comes to his dad and says, I can't wait for you to die. So give me what belongs to me. If you died, what would my inheritance be? Wouldn't that be a nice wake-up call for any dad? Oh, thanks, son. That's real nice. Yeah, dad. So, because I know you're going to die because you're old and decrepit, but I can't wait for you to die. So give me my inheritance. That's what it was. Well, in a small family business that might be worth, let's say, $100,000, he had two sons, so he's got to take from the till $50,000 and give it to his son, who then promptly goes out and starts to squander it. Now, we don't know how long this prodigal son, the story's in Luke 15, we don't know how long he's gone, probably a year, squandering $50,000 that came from the till. I want you to catch this. For remember when the son finally comes back around, who was the first one to run out, hug him, put a ring on his finger, and call him his son? It was the father. So watch this. So for a whole year, this father had to really guard the condition of his heart, lest he say, if that's going to be his idiot response, I'm done with him. I disown him. I don't want to see him anymore. I don't even know him. I don't have a son like that. He could have allowed bitterness to go into his heart and then come out in thoughts and conclusions. But instead, this father protected his heart, guarded his heart, and when he had to do business, he had to do it with $50,000 less. So when he wanted to repair or purchase something or pay a vendor, when he opened his till, oh, I don't have that. Oh, yeah. And he had to really guard his heart. It's okay. All right. We'll just make do. Do you understand? He had to guard the condition of his heart for a year. And he did well, because when his son came home, he ran out and hugged him and repaired that relationship and said, welcome home. Now, we know this story as the prodigal son. To me, it's a story of the prodigal son's father who guarded his heart while waiting for his son to come back. Precious story. And you think about that, because that father knew that one of his responsibilities as a father was to reconcile, to restore hearts. And the only way we're going to do that is that we've got to guard the condition of our own heart and not let it become bitter, because you can build evil treasure in your heart as well as good. You choose what you let sink into your heart. In fact, let's read this next one in Luke 6 and verse 45. Go. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Let me tell you why it's so important to remember all of this. If you think about it, when people say, it's really hard, though, when things don't go well and we're estranged and I think it's their fault. But it is their fault. That's why it's so important for us to remember the most expensive gift that God gave to us, that was purchased by shedding his own son's blood and bankrupting, not 50,000, bankrupting heaven to purchase a gift so that God can give it to you and me to give to one another to restore hearts. And that's called a gift of forgiveness. Now, please remember this. Forgiveness is not just a religious mumbo-jumbo word. Forgiveness is not just something we have communion about and that's good enough. No. I'm going to give you a definition of forgiveness, and I'm going to ask you to write it down. This is very important. Here it is. Here's a definition of forgiveness. Now, it's very practical. Forgiveness is the courage to make things right. Forgiveness is the courage to make things right. And when you say, Lord, I'm going to ask you for the courage to make things right, and you follow through. And when restoration happens, you can hear heaven say, when things come together, welcome home, welcome home. That's how it's supposed to be.
You've just heard a message entitled Restoring Hearts by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.